Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 19 to 24. Bearing in mind that Paul is writing as a prisoner. He is in Rome. He is a prisoner in chains. And he's writing to the church many hundreds of miles away in Philippi. And this is what he says to them in verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your soul, for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father he served with me in the gospel. Therefore I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that as we consider the character of Timothy and the marks that he displayed, we pray, our God, that you would search our own hearts and rebuke us and correct us and conform us more and more to the likeness of Jesus Christ, who has laid down his life for us. Lord, we pray, teach us then by your Holy Spirit. Grant us the grace we need to hear and to heed and to practice your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Selfish ambition is very common in this world. The desire for preeminence, enhancing your own reputation among your peers, is very strong. You see it in all walks of life. You certainly see it in public life, in politics, but you will see it in the places where you work. When selfish ambition finds its way into the church, it is an extremely dangerous thing. But it is common. Sensitive Christians will discover very soon after they become Christians that it actually contaminates our motives for doing almost anything. There is within us a selfish streak and desire. And it can be very subtle, as we will see in a moment. You may recall a few weeks ago we were looking at the behavior of the disciples just before the Lord Jesus Christ was to go into Gethsemane and then to the cross. He had celebrated the supper with them. And there they were arguing among themselves as to who was going to be the greatest, who would have preeminence, driven by selfish ambition and conceit. Another example of blatant selfish ambition in the Old Testament was Absalom. You remember Absalom, the son of David? He was a very handsome man. He had a magnificent head of hair, which led eventually to his downfall. But he set out to steal the hearts of the people of Israel, to steal them away from their loyalty to David. He had only one ambition, and that was to drive out his father and to become king in his place. We've mentioned before Diotrephes, the man mentioned in that little letter in 3 John, the man who wanted to have and loved to have the preeminence. There was no rein on his ambition and his desire, and he created havoc in the church in the same way that Absalom created havoc in the kingdom of Israel. Selfish ambition. Blatant selfish ambition, like the ones I've just mentioned, leads to division, leads to strife. It is not becoming of a Christian. It destroys unity. It destroys love. It sets people one against another. It stirs up envy and jealousy. It undermines the progress of the gospel. The Apostle Paul was aware of it in chapter 1 and verse 16. He says, there are those who preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. Even though he was able to rejoice that Christ was preached, People were doing it for entirely the wrong motives. They were using this as an opportunity to get the better of the Apostle Paul, driven by selfish ambition. Timothy is of a very different stripe. We read of him in verse 22, he's a proven character. As a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. But Paul can say of him in verse 20, I have no one like-minded. No one who will sincerely care for your state. And then in verse 21, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. Verse 21 is the core of what I want to bring before you this evening. I want to look first of all at the danger of serving self. Paul is very aware of that in this book, in this letter to the Philippians. He's mentioned in chapter 1 and verse 16, and now he's comparing that with Timothy. But there is a very real danger of serving self. Paul can say in verse 21, all seek their own things, their own desires. Matthew Henry said that seeking our own interests to neglect of the things of Christ is a very great sin and is very common among Christians and among ministers of the gospel. So before we begin to assume, oh, well, that doesn't apply to me, I'm not one who's blatantly, selfishly ambitious, we should stop and think, in what ways does this apply to ourselves? Are there ways in which we can be deceived and we're not aware of the dangers of seeking our own things, our own interests, our own desires, first and foremost? Some people have suggested that when Paul speaks like this in verse 20 and 21, he's a very frustrated man. He's tearing his hair out because he's almost, it seems, condemning every other Christian. There's no one like Timothy. I don't know anybody else like him. Everybody else is second rate. I don't think Paul is saying that for one moment. What he's saying is, at this moment in time, currently in Rome, there is no one with the same gifts, the same spirit as Timothy, that I can send on a long and difficult journey to Philippi, and when he gets there, he will do you good. No one who has the same character, no one who has the same characteristics and qualities as Timothy. Well, what does it mean then when Paul says, all seek their own? What does it mean to serve self? To seek your own things, something that Timothy does not do. What it means is this, and here it is more subtle. It's not necessarily the blatant, selfish ambition of a Diotrephes or an Absalom or the disciples on that occasion after the Lord's Supper. But you can be driven by selfish desires and be ambitious in a subtle kind of way when you serve your own interests, when you think first of all of your own comfort, your own ease, your own standing, when you put yourself and your own interests first before the needs and concerns of others. Me first. It's what I want and what I want to do and to be. It means that your priorities then are not the things of Jesus Christ. There's a degree then of self-centeredness, of selfish ambition, because you're serving your own desires, your own comforts, your own ease, and so on. You're not free then. And a Christian, sadly, will find himself, herself, sometimes they're not free from that self-centeredness. And we allow our own interests and our own concerns to hinder us in serving Christ. You may not even be aware of it. You may not even be aware of the way in which selfishness can motivate and drive you to do something or not do something, as the case may be in the cause of Christ. It all depends on whether you seek first your own interests. Therefore, we need to examine not only what we do, but why we do it, our motives. And I think you will find too often you are driven by selfishness, a self-centered desire, a self-love. Matthew Henry was not wrong when he said it's very common among Christians and among ministers of the gospel. Paul is saying, Timothy is the only one I have here at this moment in time who is not like this. He's a very different character. So we need to examine ourselves. There is the danger. Is it not true that it's easy enough for us to drop certain kinds of outward ungodliness, worldliness, patterns of behavior that we say, well, that is not right. It's easier for us to say, identify those and to deal with those. But it's quite another thing to lay selfish ambition in the dust. It's hard. If you become so taken up with yourself and your own personal needs, or if you start looking for influence, for status and position in the church, mark well, you will be of little use to Christ. Look at Diotrephes. What use was he to Christ? All he did was divide the church. Strife and confusion. Can we imagine what would have happened among the disciples if Jesus Christ had left them to their sin, to their selfish ambition, to their conceit, to their selfishness? What use then would Peter have been on the day of Pentecost if he was driven by that same carnality and that same selfish ambition that he had shown on previous occasions? Beware then of serving self. It can creep in subtly, unawares. It does not have to be blatant, selfish ambition driving for public prominence. It can be very subtle. But they are enemies. They are your enemies. Selfish ambitions and desires are your spiritual enemies. And they are the enemies of the church of Christ. There's no place for them. So there's the danger of serving self. But then secondly, here, make it your priority then to seek the things of Christ. All seek their own, says the apostle, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. In other words, he's saying, there's your priority. The things of Christ Jesus. And that is a comparatively rare quality. But here is the root of the matter. Here is what marks Timothy out. He stands head and shoulders above the others in the eyes of the Apostle Paul. But what does it mean to seek the things of Christ Jesus? The clue is found in verse 20. Paul says to the Philippians, I'm going to send Timothy to you. I have no one like him, no one his equal, who will sincerely care for your state. Now remember, in verse 16, he had contrasted sincerity with selfish ambition. The former preached Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely. So what Paul is saying, well, when Timothy comes among you, he's not trying to promote himself. That won't be his care and concern at all. He's free from that kind of selfish ambition that I've detected here in Rome. He is a man who will care for your state, who will care for your good, who will care for your well-being. That will be his priority. You will be his priority. You, the church in Philippi. You, the church of Jesus Christ in Philippi. Here then is a man who will not put himself above others. Here is a man who is focused on the needs and cares and concerns of others. And a man who is concerned in that way, or a woman who is concerned for that matter in that way, has very little room then to be self-promoting and self-important. If you're only interested in yourself, that's all you will do. But if you're concerned first and foremost for the things of Jesus Christ and for the people of Christ, the church of Christ, then there's no room for selfish ambition. Now you may ask yourself, well, hang on a moment. How can being concerned and caring for the state of Christians be seeking the things of Jesus Christ? Well, that means then that the good and the well-being of Christians is important to Christ. It's important to the Apostle Paul. It ought to be important to you. The well-being of this church ought to be one of your fundamental concerns. I could not be a sincere pastor of this church, neither could Pastor Jeremy, if I was not concerned for you and for your spiritual well-being. That is why I preach as I do. That is why I counsel you as I do. That is why I speak plainly and clearly, because I desire your well-being. The Church of Jesus Christ lies very close to the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a man or a woman who is driven by a concern for the things of Christ will be concerned for the Church of Christ and the well-being of every single member of the body of Christ. Because the Church is his, Jesus Christ's, purchased with his blood. So then, the growth in grace, the holiness of the people of God was always top of the agenda in Timothy's ministry. Paul was concerned for that. You remember how he prayed in chapter 1 and verse 9 that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. You see then together how here is a man who is he's praying, but he's concerned for the things of Christ, but he's concerned for the life, the well-being, the growth, the maturity, the fruitfulness of the church there in Philippi. And he's saying, I'm sending Timothy to you. He's a sincere man. He will care for you. He has got your well-being at the top of his agenda. That is his primary concern. And that is what it means, I believe, then, to seek the things which are of Christ Jesus. The concern of Christ means you are concerned for his church and the well-being and the unity and the love and the peace and the holiness of the church of Christ. And you do your very utmost. You do your utmost over against serving your own interests first and foremost. You do your utmost to promote the well-being of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, if you put your own credit and your comfort and your ease and your safety and your pleasure top of the list, then what is going to happen? If you put your own reputation before the things of Christ, if you put that instead of his honor and his interests, what will you do? You will end up seeking first your own things and not the things of Christ. Now, you cannot all do it in the same kind of way. I'm not suggesting for one moment that every single one of you needs to become a Timothy or an Apostle Paul. I'm not suggesting that unless you are an elder, a pastor in the church, who is primarily concerned for the well-being of the church, I'm not suggesting that is the only way. As members of the Church of Jesus Christ that meets in this place, I'm urging you not to seek first your own things, but the things of Christ, and to promote, do everything within your power to promote the well-being of this church, to care for your brothers and sisters, not only to pray for them, but to encourage them, to minister to them, to be concerned for their concerns, to bear their burdens, to weep when they weep, to rejoice when they rejoice. It's far too easy for us to be warm in following our own pleasures and desires and interests and grow cold in serving Christ. We say to ourselves things like, well, someone else can do it. Someone else will look after them. Someone else will take care of them. Why isn't that someone else you? It may be a telephone call. It may be a visit. It may simply be a conversation after the service. It may be 101 different things, but you are showing concern for the things that are of concern to that particular person. You may know someone who is struggling. Perhaps they've been ill. Perhaps there's family problems, difficulties. Doesn't matter what it is. The needs are there. The concerns are there. What do? Turn a blind eye and say, oh, I'll leave that to somebody else to take care of. Is that being concerned for the things of Christ? Is that being concerned for your brother or your sister in Christ? Why shouldn't you be the one who goes and talks to them? Timothy's priority was the things of Jesus Christ. If Paul were here this evening, I wonder what he would say of us. Would he be able to say the same thing of you and of me as he could say of Timothy? No one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. Are you one who seeks your own things or the things of Jesus Christ? Paul was very honest about Timothy. He spoke of him highly. He commended him and commended him to the Philippians. And he was confident he could send him on a long journey. It was a long and difficult journey from Rome to Philippi. It's halfway across the Mediterranean world. And there were perhaps people in Rome who said, oh, well, send someone else, Paul. I'm not undertaking a journey like that. It's not safe. You know what it's like to take a boat on the Mediterranean. You know it can be dangerous. Timothy doesn't bat an eyelid. He's going. And Paul is happy to send him because he has confidence in him. This man has the cares and concerns and the well-being of the church of Philippi laid upon his heart. Now, I don't want you to go away downcast and discouraged. So I want thirdly to ask the question, well then, what is the cure? What is the cure for selfish ambition and seeking the things of yourself? How can you cultivate, how can you cultivate selflessness that is being commended here by the Apostle Paul? Now perhaps you're here this evening, you're not a Christian at this point. You're thinking, well, yeah, you ruffled a few feathers tonight. I'm well aware that I'm selfish. I'm going to go away and I'm going to be kinder. And I'm going to try and put other people first. Well, that's a good thing to do. And perhaps then you also think, well, now, then maybe that will make me a better person. Maybe that will make me a better person in the sight of God. Wrong conclusion. That would be a great mistake. You cannot begin to seek the things of Jesus Christ unless you are striving to be like Jesus Christ. And you cannot be like Jesus Christ until you have been made a new creation in Christ. A new creature with a new life, with new desires, new motives, new ambitions. And that is the work of the Spirit of God. That is the regenerating, sanctifying work of the Spirit of God. It's what Jesus was talking about when he spoke to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Nicodemus, you need to be born from above. Born of the Spirit of God. You need a new life, a new heart. And you need then a new way of doing things. You cannot be right. You cannot do things which are right. You cannot begin to love God. You cannot begin to sincerely love your brother or your sister unless you have a new heart. Because selfishness will still rise up. Unless the power of sin has been broken in your heart and life, you will give into and cave into those selfish desires. They will rise up again. Whatever you say, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make sure that I don't fall foul of that again. If you do not have a new heart, your new desires will last but 5 minutes. And then sin will overtake you once again. And you'll be back where you started, and you'll feel even worse. Until Jesus Christ has come and washed you clean from your sins, including your selfish desires and ambitions, you cannot begin to fulfill what Timothy did here when he went to Philippi. You see, until we become Christians, we have no real idea of what sin has really done, what a mess it has made of our lives. How tangled and twisted we are. How perverted we are. We have no idea about our lostness and our guiltiness and our uncleanness before a holy God. And we think, but think wrongly. Well, if I can turn over a new leaf, if I can start again, well then, I can improve myself. No. Until your sin has been dealt with, until you have been washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ, you cannot become a new creature. You need to repent of your sins, including your selfishness, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. You need then to turn to Christ and to cry to Him for mercy. And that's true for you children, you teenagers. Children can sometimes be the most selfish, especially in a family. That's mine! Get your hands off that, that's mine! You can't have that, I want that. You may not use those precise words, but am I telling the truth? That's what happens in a family, isn't it? So you children, you boys and girls, you need to be delivered from your selfishness just as much as adults. Well, you need a new heart. That's the beginning of the cure for selfish ambition. But the Apostle Paul has given us all the answers that we need. The counsel that Paul gives us is here in the first part of chapter 2. How is it that Timothy is like this, the man that he was? I would suggest to you that he studied and imitated the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, he reminded himself constantly of the Lord Jesus Christ's conduct, his humility. He set Christ deliberately before his eyes in the same way that the Apostle Paul did in verse 5. You see, there in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And if you go back to the previous verse, verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And then he goes on in the next breath, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. To gaze upon the Lord Jesus Christ and to seek to imitate him in that regard will spell the death of selfish ambition. He was willing, he who was the eternal Son of God, who took our nature, he was willing to make himself of no reputation whatsoever. Became a bond servant, a slave. And then being found in appearance as a man, verse 8, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. Here was a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, no mere man, the Son of God, took our nature, became a bond slave, not willing to pursue reputation, no selfish ambition, and he laid down his life for you. And Jesus said, I've laid down my life for you, you are to lay down your life for your brothers. He says that in John's Gospel when he speaks to his disciples. Let me simply ask you this question. Let it search through your mind and motives and conscience. What would have happened to you had the Lord Jesus Christ been driven by selfish ambition? Would he have ever gone to the cross? Would he have ever laid down his life for you? I think the answer to that is a very obvious no. He did not hold on to his reputation. He did not hold on to his godhood, as it were. He didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself. He was obedient to death. And it's as you reflect then on the life and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you see there what drove the Lord Jesus Christ. You see his motive. You see his desires. You see what was first and foremost on his heart. It was his care and concern for his Father in the first place, and for those for whom he was going to lay down his life. Can you then be driven by selfish ambition when you gaze upon your Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for you, who humbled himself? I hope you feel the fact that those things are just not congruous. They just don't match. They are at odds with each other. Timothy was a man who was concerned first and foremost for the things of Christ. Why? Because he had studied Christ. He was imitating Christ consciously. He was reminding himself every single day of what Jesus Christ had done for him and what it cost him to lay down his life. Utterly selfless. Paul has deliberately drawn us to the mind and the disposition and the motivation of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And just as he was the pattern for Timothy, the pattern for Paul, so he is the pattern for you, Christian brother or sister. Timothy was distinguished from the generality of Christians because he had given himself, it seems, in a preeminent way to being concerned for the things of Christ, sincerely caring for the state of his brothers and sisters there in Philippi. You see, this is the work of the Spirit of God, which is why you need a renewed and regenerate heart. The Spirit of God alone can give that. But then the Spirit of God works in you and works grace in you through Christ, driving out that selfish ambition. But it dies a very slow death. I want to say to you tonight, well, you say, well, if I do go out of my way then to serve others, to care for others, I'll find selfish ambition rising up in my heart. I better not try and do it. That is not the way. That's not the way to reason. Do not let the fear of being tainted by selfish ambition hinder you from serving Christ. Seek to do the things of Christ. Care and concern for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And if selfish ambition shows itself in one way or another, then crucify it. By the Spirit of God, put it to death. Kill it off. Resist it. But don't let it deter you from serving Christ. One of the best ways to grow in grace and to grow more like Jesus Christ is to widen your horizons, to enlarge your heart of sympathy, to bear one another's burdens, to show concern for the interests, the needs, the concerns of your brothers and sisters in Christ, in the church. To do something to meet their needs, to alleviate their concerns. That is what ministering in the body of Christ is all about. Is that important for us as a church? Absolutely. Absolutely. We ought to cultivate that concern for one another, that concern for the things which are of Christ Jesus. But let me ask you, will you say, well, I've heard that, tick in the box, and will you go home and do nothing now until next Sunday? Switch off. Pull down the shutters until next Sunday, until you see your brothers and sisters in Christ once again. I don't know. I'm urging you not to do that. There are many needy people in this congregation in one way or another. Are you going to make it a concern of yours in terms of the time and energy that is given to you? Everybody is different. But are you going to show some measure, some increasing measure of care and concern for your brothers and sisters and seek then the things of Jesus Christ? What I'm saying here this evening is also very important as we seek to look for another man to come and labour here as a pastor, preaching and teaching the word of God. This is the kind of man we ought to be looking for. A man who is consumed with a care for the things of Christ and not with a care for himself and his own interests. We want a man who is going to put the well-being of this church at the head of his agenda. Any man who enters into the ministry in order to promote his own kudos, he will be a disaster within months, certainly within years, and will create a lot of ill feeling and a lot of disruption and disunity in the church. I think it's also important to those of you who are parents. I didn't used to think I was a very selfish person until I had children. You get woken up in the middle of the night. Sometimes there are incessant demands. And the last thing you want to do is minister to them and alleviate them. Cross it. Well, you've got your plans for the day. And here comes your child, blows it all apart. You find you're angry, you're distressed. You have children. They are your priority. They are your care. They are your concern. But you will find your own selfish desires are cut across again and again and again. That's true when you marry. Before you have children, when you marry, you will find cuts across your own selfish desires because there are now two people to concern you. When you have children, there are three, four, five, maybe more to be concerned about. They'll cut across your comfort, your ease, the things you would often like to do. How do you combat that? You have to go back to Jesus Christ. I think you will agree, without any difficulty, saying that men like Diotrephes, men like Absalom, would be a bane on the life of any church. We do not want to see Absaloms and Diotrephes or anybody else like them. They undermine the church of Christ. What we need are men like Timothy, women like Timothy. They are one of the greatest blessings any church can have. Are you a source of blessing to this church, to your brothers and to your sisters in Jesus Christ? Are you concerned first and foremost for the things of Christ? Will you sincerely care for the state, for the well-being of those who belong to Christ first and foremost, let alone those who are without Christ, which is another subject? Brothers and sisters, we need to take a good, hard look again at Jesus Christ. And not just one look, but constantly reminding ourselves of who he is and what he has done for us. And when that impinges upon our hearts and minds, it will begin then to crucify our own selfish desires and ambitions and free us then to serve him who has so well served us. Amen. We thank you, our God, for the example of your Son, our dear Lord Jesus Christ. We thank that he was willing to make himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a bondservant, and then was obedient even to death on the cross. He laid down his life for us. We thank you that he was not driven by selfish ambition, but by obedience and by love. And Lord, we pray that our lives may be so marked by that same love that he had for us, that we may love one another. And so as we care for one another and meet one another's needs, bear with one another's burdens and joys, so may we show that we are concerned first and foremost for the things of Jesus Christ. Lord, work in us. Curb our selfishness, we pray. Help us to put it to death day by day and to live then to the praise and glory of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen. Amen.